We're going to have our Bible readings now, so there should be blue Bibles in the pews if you want to grab one of those. And the first reading is on page 641. Page 641, I'm reading all of Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just, none of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me, princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world. I was there when he set the heavens in place. When he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so that the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in the whole world and delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Our second reading is on page 1183. Page 1183, I'm reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 through to chapter 2, verse 5. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Maybe you'd like to turn back to the book of Proverbs, page 641, because it's Proverbs chapter 8 that we're looking at this morning. And let's pray. Jesus Christ, help us by your Spirit to see you more fully and to be amazed more by your kindness and love. In your name, amen. Now, the internet is so useful for buying things, but you don't get to see the things until they come to your door. You don't see the size. I thought I was getting a really good deal on some TCP antiseptic. It looked just like the bottle we already had, but when it came, it was tiny and plastic. The internet made a miniature look big. It can also make big things look small. Someone I know ended up with an enormous bag of bird seed that they could hardly move. Today, we're thinking about the way we think about Jesus and how we can have Jesus completely the wrong size. But wait a minute, you might be thinking, we just read the passage of the Bible in Proverbs 8 and it was all about a woman, a wise woman who calls out, calling people to be wise and have true life. And in the book, it's there as a complete contrast to last week, chapter 7, where we saw a tricky woman trying to seduce us into sexual sin and death. Bad woman, and now good woman. So why are you talking about Jesus? And of course, Christians do often do that. You may well have heard the story of an Australian Sunday school teacher who said to the class, "What's furry and lives in a tree and eats gum leaves?" No reply. "Come on, big ears, big eyes, active at night." Still no reply. Finally, a little girl said, "Well, it must be Jesus, but it sounds like a koala." And I want us to think about Jesus. But you're thinking the bit we read was about wisdom being true and right and better and more valuable than anything you could buy. That was verses 1 to 11. Or the next section, 12 to 21, it's about wisdom being excellent for leaders, giving them understanding. Wisdom recognizes what is right and wrong according to what God says. Or the third section, there was wisdom being the first of God's works and being there before the creation of the world and being the organizing principle of the world. That's verses 22 to 31. And in the final section, we saw wisdom giving the command to listen, and that we would be blessed and have life if we love wisdom, and have harm and death if we ignore wisdom. So why are you talking about Jesus? What's that got to do with this woman and wisdom? Well, let's go back to Easter Day, the first Easter Day in the evening. And of course, enough time had passed for decay to be setting into Jesus' body, and his followers were even expecting that, with some of them taking bunches of sweet-smelling herbs. And in the evening of Easter Day, some other followers were dejectedly walking away from Jerusalem. They thought they'd followed God's prophet, but Jesus had been killed. And now on the third day, no one could find the body. Yes, some of the women said angels told them he'd risen from the dead, but there was no evidence for that. And someone they didn't recognize at that point, who'd been listening, said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, the person who was the risen Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. There they were, walking along to Emmaus, and they needed to know who Jesus really was. They had what we call the Old Testament. They knew it, but they read it as though they had a blindfold on, although they were in very dim light, getting some of the main ideas, but not seeing God's big plan. They knew that Jesus was someone who had spoken from God and did miracles with the power of God. But you know what? That's a miniature view of Jesus. It's not nearly the size that Jesus really is. Just a prophet, that's not Jesus. There might be here someone this morning even further away than those people on the road, not even in the room with the lights off, just wondering what's through the door. But I'm inclined to think that Jesus would say to every one of us, how foolish and slow you are to recognize me as I truly am, because we all have Jesus the wrong size, far too small. If we had Jesus more of the right size, we couldn't help but live for him and love him every day more and more. But today would be a good day to get our view of Jesus more of the right size, not least because Advent Sunday doesn't just say that the God-man came to live among us to make us truly God's people, but also that the God-man is coming back. And if we are not joyfully joined to him in life, we face eternal death. From early days in the church, the passage we've read from Proverbs 8 has been considered one of the places in the scriptures that talks about Jesus being God in human flesh. It's a great passage for getting us ready for Christmas, ready for life now, and ready for eternal life when Jesus comes again. Because I think this would be one of the places where Jesus took those disciples to as they walked along that road to Emmaus. Consider chapter 8, verse 23. Lady Wisdom says, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. Or verse 27, I was there when he set the heavens in place. And do you remember John 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Could Lady Wisdom stand for the same Word who was God? I mean, that Wisdom is a lady. It's no particular problem. Jesus doesn't mind comparing himself to a female when he says at one point his love for Jerusalem is like the love of a hen for her chicks. The Bible calls Jesus a lion and also a lamb. The Apostle Paul calls Jesus the power of God and the wisdom of God. Perhaps for Solomon, wisdom is so beautiful that wisdom is best personified as a woman, because they're more beautiful than men. The more important thing to notice, and something that our minds are really too small to take in, is that Jesus, God's wisdom, God's word, was with God before anything was created. The man that people thought was a carpenter from Nazareth, Mary's son, Joseph's stepson, had existence before Mary and Joseph. He had existence even before Adam and Eve. He had existence before creation. And more than that, he was the artist beside his father, crafting and delighting in the world as it was made. We see that in verse 30. It says, when the Lord marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. And we have that same teaching in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 1. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Bible tells us God made this universe through the Son, whom we know as Jesus Christ. The Bible says the universe is made by God the Father, with God the Son alongside, and we would say more fully, with God the Holy Spirit joining them as one. Some of you might be thinking, how was Jesus Christ there before the creation? How did he exist? Was he at some earlier point born, long before he was born as a man through Mary? Verse 22, the Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says something rather similar. Where it might seem there was an earlier birth, he, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. But don't for a moment think that means Jesus was kind of the first creation. If wisdom was that, something God made at a certain point before our creation, that would be saying that God at some point decided to make himself wise and so created wisdom. It can't mean that up until then God was foolish or neutral and improved himself by making wisdom. The word firstborn in those days was a way of speaking about the main one, the most honored. So if you like, God, whose love, of all the attributes and qualities that God could have, the one closest and always necessary and most important, the best to him that God, who is love, could have was wisdom. It's brought forth from God, like the way our breath or even our smell is brought forth from us. And that beautiful wisdom is the Word of God, Jesus Christ. He is, as one of the creeds puts it, light from light, very God of very God. Jesus Christ is not a created being, not even the best created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses aren't reading the Bible properly. But knowing more than that about Jesus before creation is but beyond what God has told us. A lot of people celebrate Christmas, but they have no idea or the least possible idea of who Jesus Christ is. Doncaster, yesterday, all those wreaths and stockings and Santas and reindeer horns. You know, it would be worth making all the fuss with the shops full of baubles and trees and stars if people really knew who Jesus was. In fact, the celebrations wouldn't be big enough. This passage is getting us ready for Christmas, an awesome, magnificent, stupendous Christmas. Do you have a big enough view of Jesus? The one before creation who created the whole thing. But we can't just leave Jesus, so to speak, alongside God the Father. We need to ask why. The Christmas one, the one who was with God from the beginning, delightfully crafting the world with God, actually came in Mary's womb and then was born as one of us, as a human. Why would God do that? Why would God come and live with the simple and the foolish and the wicked and the perverse, the proud and the arrogant and all the things that wisdom is not? Wouldn't it pollute God? Why would God do that? To have worthy things to say to humans, to speak what is true and just, and yet to be hated and cursed and crucified, to live the good life, and then to be denied justice by unrighteous men. Why would God do that? Isn't it all a bit unnecessary? I mean, if God really wanted to change the human race, couldn't he just have sent the book of Proverbs out a bit more widely and got people to be wise like that? Verse 34, wisdom speaking, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Well, that to me is our big problem. Because just telling us to be wise and to ignore folly doesn't work. It's good to be wise. It's good to be righteous. And in these last weeks, we've been listening to lots of good, wise teaching from the book of Proverbs. And wisdom is great, especially for rulers and head teachers and people like that. And it is part of the fabric of how best to live in the world. And ignoring wisdom is stupid and wrong. And we can read these texts about wisdom and we can long for wisdom. But the worrying thing, at least for me, is that though wisdom is something I would like to have, I haven't always been wise. I don't even trust myself to be always wise from now on, even if I know what the wise path is. Somehow we all fail to find wisdom, and we all actually love sinning. In fact, we are often foolish and pathetic and mean, greedy and false. And that is why wisdom actually came in the flesh as the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, for people who definitely don't deserve it. And that seems actually not wisdom on God's part, but foolishness. Foolish that God should enter his creation to be treated like that by us. A baby far from home, on the run to Egypt, then living that good human life until the right time, knowing temptation but not sinning, being able to stop all the attacks but not doing it, going right through to drink God's terrible judgment on sin and none of the sin his own. We need God in human flesh to be the peacemaking offering for our human sins. So that having achieved the peace on the cross, he could rise again with his people joined to him by faith, with God in us and us in God. My only hope for the good life is not Christopher Hobbes listening to wisdom. My only hope for the best life is to be joined to the source of all wisdom, Jesus Christ, to kind of piggyback on him. It's a good life now, with peace and hope and forgiveness and a God-given family, yes, and wisdom to teach me, and even more, with life beyond life, more life, when Jesus Christ comes again. Jesus can say, in a way that being wise in itself cannot, "Blessed are those who listen to me. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." It's Jesus Christ who calls out to the world, who calls out to us this morning, who says to us, "Get me the right size." Well, what does it mean in practice to get Jesus the right size? Putting him bigger as the priority in your time. We've all got things we need to do, but we've got other time as well. Not just thinking about Jesus on Sunday. There's prayer and the Bible and great things on the internet and Christian books. We can make Jesus bigger in our time. We can make Jesus bigger in our giving. I mean, we've all got things we need to spend money on to live. But what about the rest? How does the way we use that show that we want Jesus to be bigger in us and in the world? Is what we spend and give money on things that would please him? Making him bigger would be making him the priority in our hopes for your children, if you have them. Is knowing Jesus as great what you love for them, most for them? For your spouse, if you have one, do you want your spouse to flourish as a Christian, knowing that Jesus is great for your spouse? How can you help that? For your parents, if you have them. Sometimes as we get older, we start to slacken off and stop caring about things the way we used to. How can we help our parents to keep wanting Jesus to be big in their lives? For your friends, if you have any, don't you want them to realize how great Jesus is? How can you help them? I didn't try this. I didn't try putting the word Jesus everywhere where it says wisdom. But what about this verse? For Jesus is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with him. The way I first responded to him was a prayer like this, and it's a prayer that I keep praying, and maybe you can too. Let us pray. Lord God, I admit that I've offended you in such a foolish way by living as I please, as if you were not there. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me so I can be forgiven. I want to be joined to you. Please forgive me, and please fill my life with your Spirit to be my Lord from now on. Amen.